Bardé, we made it. Commandant Bardé.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm going to close the rideau. It's set to practice. Yeah. No, no, go there, go there. Yes, yeah, put your legs inside to be sure because you're tall. All right, comme ça. Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. How are you?
Jason Hierro.
Sebastian.
No, what the fuck are you doing? You want to kill me, boy?
No, that's true. You're good. That's true.
So, welcome to the OBS with SB, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Man, I know you for, I think you saw my first show when I started in English.
Yeah.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
And after that, I saw you hustling.
Yeah.
You remember Yuck Yuck on Mekai?
Oh, yeah.
Always there, hustling, oh, yeah. Remember?
Yeah.
And after that, ciao, SC, you disappear.
I think...
What's happening, boss?
Well, you know, I mean...
Did you go to the army?
Actually, I was recruited by the aliens and the lizard people. We worked on our 5G conspiracy towers.
You can say all that in 5 seconds, I'm going to get terminated, tabarnak. Wow, so do you love that? Do you love this kind of shit?
I'm interested by the people. Like, I'm interested in a lot of these stories they have. I feel like... Conspiracy theory is a term that is misused a lot, though,
yes, yes.
Because a real conspiracy theorist does not get their information from articles on the internet. They sit in a room with newspaper articles and red string everywhere and tinfoil hats. They don't talk to anybody because they don't trust anybody because they think everything is a damn conspiracy. So what I think is really funny is people taking these stories and being called conspiracy theorists where they're just following other people's crazy ideas.
Yes, but at the same time, good point, but at the same time, what is crazy ideas? Because every time, example, okay, let's find,
mm-hmm.
If I believe on flat earth, okay,
mm-hmm.
You're gonna laugh and insult me,
okay? No,
in general,
most people will, most people will, though, yeah,
but this is the problem why we can find just a conversation about why you believe in flat earth, okay?
Right.
But my point is, prove me it's the wrong earth. Prove me. You can prove it. You.
I personally can't.
Exactly my point.
But you can also not prove that it is flat.
Exactly.
And
exactly. But why we can have a good argument in general? You know what I mean?
Well, it's this is the thing, though. A lot of the time, we do have experts in fields, right? We have, like, when my car breaks down. It used to be that if you knew enough, you could fix your own car. Now, if your car breaks down, there's so many computer chips in it and there's so much stuff going on.
It's more because you're lazy and you don't care.
Right.
Maybe my toaster broke, I buy another one, I don't care.
Right.
I don't look, oh my God.
Right, but there's a certain degree, like if your pet gets sick, you have to bring it to a vet. And you have to a certain degree, trust what the vet is saying.
Yes.
But you can easily just say that this vet is, and I'll believe that because people love their pets so much that I can easily, as a vet, say,
yes,
I'm going to charge you $700 or your cat's going to die.
Yes, I know. Emotion, manipulation, but my
big question is, who cares if the earth is flat or
No. Yeah, I know, but now... Human being,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't want to repair the car because they don't care.
Right.
Okay. Maybe they don't want to focus on what the dog have and pay the $700. But now you can make your own research. That at the time, it was impossible to make your own research. Okay. No, listen. It's important because you have a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just talk about the 11th September. Go there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say
We're going to jail. They're coming for us.
This video will not exist. My point is, Building 7 is a proof. Okay,
yeah.
People argue that it was a fire. We can see it's demolition.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
No,
I agree.
My point is, I don't said it's demolition. I know it's demolition, but people still argue with a proof.
Right.
Flat Earth. Or a round ball. It's tough to prove.
Right. Okay? Either one of those.
You know what I mean? So no matter if you have the proof or not, my point is not if you're right or wrong. It's like impossible to just have a discussion and not accept he's a crazy guy to believe in that.
When you talk,
you know what I mean?
I understand what you mean, but here's the other problem with the idea.
We can make our own research.
Yeah, but here's the other problem with the idea of being able to find our own research, because the internet is a free space. while yes, I can find accurate science and accurate research on things, it's also possible as a person that's trying to do something nefarious to put misleading research that people, because also when it comes to scientific terms, statistics,
my point is use your own judgment.
Of course, but the problem
about your own choice.
But the problem is
television was television.
Oh yeah,
if you don't like this post, this channel, it's another one.
I have a joke that I really like when it comes to this thing. A lot of people like to throw statistics around, and they don't understand fully, I think, how statistics work. Because you can manipulate statistics to say whatever you want.
Exactly.
I have a joke that says, if 65% of people, of the accidents on the road are caused by non-alcohol related incidences, that means 35% are caused by drunks, which means drunk drivers are doing better than the sober people.
Yeah.
So if somebody's brain isn't smart enough to understand that aspect of, you can take statistics and you twist them around to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, I think, that don't use their brain to critically think about information. They see a buzzword and they go, oh, this makes sense, because none of this makes sense. Instead of thinking about all of it, they're not really doing the research. They're just reading about it.
Okay, so let's go there. The virus now. You think it's a fraud, or you think he exists, but you think, or you think it's the virus exists.
Unfortunately,
it should not enough close everything for.
I think that if we would have responded better to it at the beginning, I don't think we would have had to have the extent of closures that we did. Like, I think bars and restaurants could have been closed
So you believe that?
I know people that have gotten sick from it. I know people that have had that are having lasting effects from it. As somebody that's asthmatic and has a weak...
Your family? In your family?
Yeah. Yeah. So
they died?
I have my uncle's wife's sister died from it. No, this is she's my aunt. She's my second aunt.
Really?
She's not my, like, she's not
sure
blood. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
How old are her?
She was 40.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's something going on.
I also think
that money is the prime force that drives everybody. And I don't see, if this was a fake thing, that we would have closed everything for so long to completely fuck the economy up.
People die because of hunger, suicide,
abuse, all this shit. But that's also, for me, suicide, mental health, is actually a result of a much deeper problem. It's a result of this life that we are being kind of forced to live into, where we have to go to university and get into debt and go into jobs that we don't want to do and raise kids when we might not want to raise kids. But we feel like the social pressure's on us to do that and to be in a marriage that we're not happy with anymore. But you know, there's kids and there's this and there's all these things, and I want to get out of my marriage because I don't love my wife anymore. But if I tell my wife I don't love her, I'm going to lose half of my shit. And all of these pressures and things, I think have a lot to do with those problems that some people face. Your brain makes some connections and you're not able to fully grasp the situation, so you freak out. You know, if I woke up one morning and thought everything, I was being lied to constantly by my government, and like, maybe I would fucking want to kill myself. I don't know. So it's really, I think what happened was, when we started to sit down and we weren't distracted by work, by socializing, we started to really see how ugly the world really was. And that, for a lot of people, was too much. Because I know I come across a lot as a bit of a hard person, but like, show me a video of a little kitten being rescued, man, and I'm bawling my eyes out.
The guy who wrote shit on YouTube too, in the section of comment?
What do you mean?
Like, you said you cry when you saw a baby.
I try.
But are you the guy out there reverse?
At the beginning of this,
you suck, bitch.
No, I try not to. I try not to be aggressive or bully.
You never did that?
I used to for sure. I used to, even at the start of this pandemic, when I started to freak out because of my lung capacities and because I'm one of the at-risk people that they talk about, I saw people sharing stuff about like, oh, masks are bullshit and this and that. I'm like, you realize by sharing this information and by promoting not wearing masks, you're actually putting my life at risk.
Yeah, but calm down.
But
no, make it calm down because you. It's,
I maybe it wasn't the right.
No, my point is, listen, you're right. Why? I was in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It starts March 13. Okay, mm-hmm. March 13 to April, maybe 13. Yeah. We are inside.
Yeah,
200 people die every day. Okay, mm-hmm. I was at Walmart, mm-hmm. relaxing. Take a paper toilet because everybody wants paper. To remember?
Yeah.
With my girlfriend, buying some cans in case the end of the world. It was chill. Okay. Why did the mass was not there already?
I agree 100%.
You know,
I agree because but you also see
everything was stupid.
It was slow. The response was terrible.
No, we can't go to.
But you also see
have to wait in the car.
You also see how people are responding to having to be told to wear the mask now, 4 months later. It's not because it's 4 months later. They're being mad because, oh, freedom. I don't want to wear a mask. Most people I see,
because
they're like, oh, freedom. I'm free to not wear a mask. You're in violation of my freedom. That's what I see.
No, I mean, it's not stupid, the argument.
It is.
You know why it is? Because you have a lung problem.
It's not about that. We don't say it's.
No, because you can prove something.
Well, it's not about
you believe it, but you can prove.
Why do we say that wearing a seatbelt is not a violation of our freedom, or wearing a T-shirt is not a violation?
No. If you don't have put your seatbelt, you have a ticket.
Right.
This is the system. Does it mean I believe that I need my belt to drive? You know what?
I agree with 100%.
Look at that. Oh. You have a mask and a plastic to protect.
C'est la loi.
Yes,
it's the law.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Make some noise. Bobby. Yes. Whoa, it's beautiful coffee, huh? You made it.
And a biscotti.
Italian restaurant, Peroni.
It's Peroni.
It's awesome. Tony, I love you. Thank you so much to give me the opportunity to do my podcast here. No, exactly. You know what we talk about?
The only thing in life that is 100% true.
No, I just want to remember, because me, I'm French. I have to think in English all the time to translate, to be sure.
No,
I'm so fast. I'm pumped, you're pumped. But this is my point. My point is possible, okay, to have a discussion, argument, but not insult each other because we are not agree.
Right.
But this is rare in 2020.
It's much rarer now,
And social media,
it's
impossible to have to talk about anything, okay? I just want to finish because... My podcast is not about conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I understand.
It's about comedy. But comedy, it's a part of denunciation about stuff we believe or not.
You're convinced that
we need a mask. You're convinced.
No, I'm not convinced.
No, but you said that.
It's not about convention. For me, this is what it is about. It's about, okay, if it's not real and you have to wear a mask, That's the worst thing that happens. You have to wear a mask for a little bit. If it is real and you're wearing a mask, you are protecting people around you and yourself. So which one is better? It's a question of, for me, it's just a question of weighing the options. I don't trust the government, but I'm not willing to risk somebody else's life to prove my point. That's what it is for me.
How many people die crashing car? How many people die?
I understand that.
My point is...
But if we can prevent
it... If they put right away the mask when they start, we will not have this discussion about the because now everybody know it's weird.
Well, the problem is... I agree with you there.
It's weird because you have to understand, look. Okay? March 13, April, May.
I agree with
May,
you there.
We open everything and now...
I agree
they
with you
said, there. They said July 27, 2 weeks ago. After that, it's going to be July 18.
Here's something that I read.
What's a broche à foin? Broche, in English. Broche à foin.
It doesn't make sense. It's
like unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's like people don't know where they're going.
So what you're doing right now, though, is you're saying that the politicians are being unprofessional. They've been unprofessional for the last fucking 40 years, bro.
No.
But they're the ones that are giving us the information.
A lady yelled at me 2 meters in my face. And when she did that, I said,
That's not 2 meters.
No, man.
No, no. I understand. I understand.
Calm down.
I understand.
Now they force everybody to put a mask everywhere.
Right.
Okay. Okay. If you don't agree, stay home.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't want to wear a mask, you just don't go somewhere.
Yeah.
I understand I don't agree about mm-hmm. mask. Doesn't mean I'm gonna yell like of the liberty. Don't go.
That's it. You don't go to places where they tell you you have to wear a mask.
Exactly.
Or you go and you put the mask on if you
really, exactly. If I need to go to Walmart, look,
that's it.
Because I want to have dinner. I'm going to put a mask on. I need my craft dinner.
Yeah. It makes sense. This is something.
But you can fight with the government. You can fight with the system. He said, "Hey, did you see? They have a."
What I find really funny is they want to charge businesses.
Yeah.
That is, and if you think about it, is all the people all the people that are wearing that are not going to be wearing masks in the metro, are they going to charge the SDCM fines? No, they're going to charge the people. So it's just it's hypocritical.
Exactly.
It's not honest. Yeah. But
why are you going with that? Why do you think that?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm reading about. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm reading about some people's opinions on the second wave, and believe it or not, there are some medical experts that think a second wave could wind up in a year-long to 2-year-long quarantine.
So the PCU every month,
like
2,000 every month.
But could you imagine not being like the quarantine that we had? Imagine they try to enforce that for 2 years.
Oh my God.
So this is the thing. Isn't it better to try to take steps to make sure that that doesn't happen than to just be like, you know what, I don't believe in it, and let's just go about business as usual, and then risk a two-year quarantine? That's crazy, man. I don't want to be stuck. I love my house.
Imagine a restaurant.
I used to be somebody that was like, fuck you, I don't want to go anywhere. I hate people. I don't want to go out. I like staying at home. People suck. And after this whole 4-month period, I want to hug every single human I see now. I'm just like, you're all amazing, and where have you been all my life?
I don't think you're going to hug anymore.
No, I mean, it's funny. I went to go visit a friend of mine that worked at a bar, Bistro à Jojo on Saint-Denis. It's a live blues place that I go see that I used to work next to. So I went to go see my friends, and I walked in there and I ordered a tall pint glass of soda water, and they were all like,
you don't want milk?
You don't want gin in there or anything like that? I'm like, nope, just the soda water, please. And as soon as I saw my friend, the bartender, Maddie Lynn, like, I didn't even like have a chance to jump away from her. She just ran over and gave me a huge fucking hug. And like, I was sitting there just going like, as much as this...
You contaminated everybody.
Well, as much as I was like terrified of that, I was like, man, human contact feels so fucking good. But then I went home and I took a shower.
And she died, buddy. Anyway, no, to go back to mm-hmm. Flat Earth, okay? Are you curious about that? Or your brain said, it's shit, I don't want to go there?
I don't care.
No, you don't.
It doesn't bother me either which way. It's no significance in my life if the earth is flat or if the earth is fucking
round.
Why? Because who cares?
Okay, so...
Who cares? Who gives a shit? It's not going to change my day-to-day existence.
Yes.
No.
Because you don't care who you are, where you're from.
It's not about...
What is your purpose?
Where I'm from.
You don't know why we're here.
Why are we here? We don't know. That's.
What does our
flat Earth or our round Earth have to do with why we're here?
It's because they hide something, man.
That doesn't.
Do you believe they went to the moon?
I don't care either which way.
No, it's not important.
It's important for you.
No, I know.
It's not important.
It's not important for me.
It's
not important for me.
But seriously, it seems to be.
No, because you start with that.
You started with the flat Earth.
No, you start with the conspiracy theory.
Well, you said we were going to talk about it. So I'm talking about it.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. I find them interesting, but they don't shape my choices.
They don't shape what I do.
Okay. I'm interested by stories.
Okay, let's go to the virus, because you are interested about the virus more.
I listen to the information and I make my decisions based on the information that I get.
Exactly.
But whether or not the Earth is flat or round is not going to change my everyday...
Because you talk about conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory, it's like flat Earth, The 11th September,
Bigfoot.
You said lizard, tabarnak.
Well, no, I know, because this is my point. But I don't believe in lizard people.
I know my point. You act like I decide to believe in something.
I was making a joke.
You start with lizard.
Yeah, I made a joke.
Okay, me though.
You asked me what I was.
Because I'm French, I have to think faster because it's not my first language.
English. When I said lizard people, you said to me,
"I don't." You said you don't care about the you care. I don't care. I said no. It's not I care or I don't care. Mm-hmm. You start with conspiracy theory with lizard.
Well, I just made a joke.
Nobody know.
I just made a joke.
I don't know. Nobody know.
You asked me where I was for the last two years. Where I went. When I left, and I said I was working for the lizard people and the 5G conspiracies.
Exactly.
It was a joke. That was a joke.
I don't know.
Obviously, if I used the term, I feel like if you use the term conspiracy, you're kind of making it a joke, because if you believe it. It's not. No. I don't think it's a conspiracy anymore. It becomes something that's happening.
You don't need to believe something. You can be interesting about something and not believe it.
For sure.
You know what
for
I
sure.
mean?
For sure. Absolutely.
I don't believe or not about the flat earth, but I'm interesting.
Yeah.
Are you interesting about the lizard?
No.
The 5G? The 5G, it's not something yet. But you know 5G.
5G, it's 5G. They've been using 5G for 20 years. From what I understand, it's been technology that they've been using for 5 years. When I microwave a bowl of Kraft dinner, I'm staring in front of the fucking microwave looking at the bowl go beep. So I'm getting waves.
Yes.
And we sit around and we walk around with our cell phones to our heads all the time.
Yes.
Like, it's, come on. Like,
yes, but why you act like you know.
Well, I read about this stuff.
Exactly.
Because
you don't need to believe it.
Well, the only reason I read about this stuff is because I believe that life is really just a collection of stories. It's even my personality is not, Jason Yarrow does not exist.
What?
Jason Yarrow is a combination of environmental stimulus and ideas from both my parents. And the way that I interpreted those.
Until you change it, find your own.
Like, exactly. If my mother did something that I didn't like, I would do the opposite.
Yes.
Or if my dad did something that I did like, I would do the same thing.
Yes.
And these are things based on my environment that I decided would make up my personality.
Yeah. But now you're 40 years old.
Right.
Do you think you achieve like the 100% who you are? Versus all you.
Yes, 100%. Because I have separated.
Because you made 20 years of mistakes.
Well, exactly. No, it's
of relearning.
It's, what it really was I found that looking back, I don't know if it was the amount of pot that I was smoking, to be 100% honest with you. I hit a point in my life where I stopped maturing. And then I just kept living as this like 20-something, 21, 22-year-old mentality. And I couldn't get beyond that for some reason until I was taking steps and breaking down chunks of the wall that was preventing me, but it wasn't until very recently that I was able to fully like tear down the Berlin Wall and be like, pa-pow, I get it now. And I understand, my philosophy is that because Jason Yarrow, as I saw him, the way I saw him was this thing that was 100% legitimate, and now the way I see it is he's not a real person, means I can change any single thing about me that I don't like almost instantaneously just by looking at it and going, you know what, I don't want that to be a part of Jason Yarrow. Get it out.
So you're 100% confident with yourself, you know what you want, but the most important, you know what you don't want.
Yes.
Because you don't repeat the same mistake.
Well,
you're still struggling with stuff.
We are
addicted with food, alcohol.
I still struggle.
Like you put bother on your toes this morning.
But it's not. I don't see things as a struggle so much anymore. More as
the struggle is when you repeat something you don't want.
Right, but see, that's the thing. I don't have a tendency to repeat things that I don't. I like my wee butter on my toast in the morning. You know. So it's for me. It's not. They're like when I do decide to say, oh, you know what, I'm gonna have that beer, and then I drink half of it, and I go, what the fuck am I doing?
But I don't sit there and drink 16 more beers and then at the end of the night go, oh, what did I do? So, yes, there's still a portion of it, but I'm so much more adept at seeing behavior in myself that I don't like and identifying it and being able to be like, ooh, why did I do that? And actually really self-analyzing and being able to go, you know why I think I did that? Ooh, that's why I did that. That's not good. And then, like, looking at why we do things I think is really important, too. And it's really helped in my comedy, like, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because it's changed. Like, I used to be the joke guy. Set up punchline. And I wasn't really that great at it. And now, because I've adapted to my brain to this, I found my voice. And I'm able to write pages and pages of stuff, and everything hits. And I'm just like, wow, I can't wait to get this out. And because it's also, instead of just set up punchline, I feel like I'm myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's not an act anymore. It's honest.
It's you on stage and, talking about life.
Yeah. And what's great about that is I don't care about all the other stuff anymore. I just want to do...
You know what he said? This is the reason. It's not about set up punch.
No.
It's not about that. No. It's not about now. It's about you don't care anymore. Yeah. It's more like that.
Now I don't care anymore. I just want to do what I want to do. Exactly. And if people like it, great. And if they don't, that's cool too.
Oh man, wow. So, yeah, you struggle a lot and you bum a lot to achieve that.
Yes.
This is gold. Eh? You know that, eh?
I know. I'm really...
Because it's why I do a podcast. Because people think it's comedy, it's magic, it's easy, it's fun. No. It's painful and it's medicinal for us. Like,
yeah,
it's a way to find me. I'm so hyperactive. I love life. I want to understand everything. You know, but what job can I do? I don't want to be a conspiracy theory or comédien or
humoriste.
Do a conference about it. No. I said I need something like. I'm my own boss, and if I kill, I take the reward, and if I bomb, I take the reward.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And in comedy, it's easy, eh? You kill or you bomb.
Yeah,
they have
There's no really.
No, it was fine.
He was okay. He was okay.
But so when did you always knew that, or you realized that not too far ago? Like,
I honestly realized.
Enough. I don't like that. I stopped.
I was always working on it, but I was working on very like individual slices. Like, imagine a plate of food with lots of different things on it. I was only eating the beans first, and then I would move on to the next thing. Then I would, which is okay. It's okay. But now when I kind of had this wash that came over me. I was able to multitask a bit better and to be able to kind of see how the beans were connected to the potatoes, which were connected to the steak, and how it all made a plate of food. And if I wanted to get rid of everything, that I had to work, I could work on everything a little bit and not just focus on one specific thing that was.
So let's go at two places. First show, and when when you did for the first time that set up punch on stage, okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
This show, but go. We're gonna go for the first.
You want my first show ever?
Ever.
My first show ever was I think I was like 31.
So 9 years in comedy.
Yeah.
30. So we start
almost 10 years ago. No, I think I was 30. I'm pretty sure I was 30. I'd gone to the Comedy Nest.
Okay.
And I was like really.
You go there like they do a.
I hadn't gone to go see shows. I'd just been like I'd read on the website that if you come on a Wednesday night, it's our open mic night. And you know, like, and I'd written some jokes down in a book, and
so you asked the guy there,
and Peter Randomski was at the door, and I'm like, so how much to come in? He's like, $5. I'm like, I have some jokes in my book. How about you let me tell the jokes so that I can come see the show? And he looks
anyway, at me, you don't have $5.
I didn't. He looks at his list and he goes, you know what? We have a space. We have a spot. And he put me on.
Okay, so why you go to the Nest? Who forced you?
Nobody forced me. I was just so fucking depressed and miserable with my existence.
Wow.
To be honest, I was working at America.
This is gold. This is why I do a podcast. This is gold, man.
Thank you.
No, seriously. I'm not sarcastic.
I believe you 100%.
So painful, so depressed.
I was working at American.
What can can be exactly depressed than bombing.
What can go wrong? I was like, I literally have nothing to. I'd always wanted to do it. I was always the class clown and goofy guy that liked to make jokes and stuff like that. All the time. I love attention. Okay. I always kind of had a big.
You have a brother or sister?
I have a half sister and two stepbrothers. But like growing up, I was pretty much the only kid.
Like that. Okay. So and you always want to make laugh at home?
Sorry, I would always be the funny guy. Okay. I was always the funny guy.
If I asked your mother, is she gonna say
says anything, you've got magic powers because she's 6 feet.
Okay, sorry, but okay. Your father.
My father is.
No. Say with your mother at the time, though.
Actually, it's funny because my mother was always a very relaxed and like. She was the one that would let me smoke pot in the house and was like very...
In the house?
Yeah, she was very liberal.
Shut up.
She was super liberal and really cool. And my dad was strict and like, you got to get a good job. You got to get the education. Oh,
look at the voice. You have the voice.
And when I left my head office job at American Apparel, I was working in their head office.
Where American Apparel? Where? On Saint-Denis?
No, the head office, which was behind the orange julep. C'est comme, le bureau de chef, j'étais le chef. That, I was like the head distributor for the clothes in Canada. Big job. And I left
your glass.
Yeah. And I left my job there, and I told my parents, I'm like, guys, I want to do stand up comedy.
No way.
And
no way.
No, I mean,
you don't understand. I want to know why.
My dad.
What's happened?
Did
you get a rock?
I was just sitting in this fucking job. I was going to work 5 days a week from 9 to 5, and it was the same shit every day, the same people, nothing exciting happening, except when I made exciting things happening. Like, we took, so like one day, we took those little yellow post-it notes, and we covered an entire desk, chair, computer, like basically the entire corner of that person's office, where his table was just yellow post-it notes. And like then when he walked in, he's like, oh my God, you guys are so I had to find ways to amuse myself, and eventually I was just so bummed out and bored, and I don't have a huge social circle. I've never had a huge social circle.
2000.
Sorry?
2010.
Yeah.
So social media is there, but
yeah, but as a kid that grew up in the 80s too, I always I grew up before social media and stuff. Exactly. So while I was comfortable with it, it's just like it's such an impersonal and easy way for you to just like keep in contact with people, but without having any connection. Like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, cool. Like, it's so like it's very surface where you don't really get to know the person. And I feel like that's why there's a lot of arguments and fighting on Facebook, because we are friends with people, but we don't know who they are inside. We don't know the good things they've done, and because we've all done good things and we've all done bad things.
Hey, we have difficulty to talk
right.
Face to face. Imagine when you write, you don't know the intention.
When there's no emotion, when there's even no emotional connection to the person, like we have a professional relationship.
It's why everybody say, why you stop? Because I stopped my podcast because of the pandemic.
Right.
People say, do it with Zoom. I said, no, Zoom, it's impersonal.
Yeah.
It's
not the same.
It's face-to-face, look.
Yeah.
You can bullshit.
Yeah.
You can. Try. You know what I mean?
This is real.
This real discussion than two-face.
I understand that.
Two-face watching the camera, you know.
While I'm jerking off underneath the
chair. Yeah. With your bother. My bother. Okay, so listen. When did you say, because me, I want to know the job, money, security, and the day after you are the next.
Luckily, being a white kid from like a rich Jewish family, the job security wasn't necessarily something that I needed to fully.
Because you didn't know you.
I didn't know I was going to make it, but I also was like, you know what? I'm going to go do comedy, and I'm going to go get work in bars and restaurants, because at least those schedules are much more malleable.
Yeah.
Which was stupid for me to think, because bars and restaurants, you work more at night than you work during the day. It's better to keep a day job if you want to do comedy.
Did you ask to your mother? It was a good idea.
No, I went out and did it. Honestly, it's kind of like when I first smoked pot. When I first smoked pot, I didn't tell anybody. I wasn't with anybody. I was on my own. I went for a little walk. I stole some of my mom's pot, and I went for a little walk around the block. And I was like,
wow.
Well, this is nice. Yeah, I like this.
It's fun. Me, I smoke minus 30 outside. a big joint.
No.
Nothing happened.
And then you go inside and.
And yeah, and I realized like I watched the bowling 2 hours like that. Yeah. I was like, it's amazing,
so,
man.
So yeah, comedy for me was a bit more of a like a low key thing that I started to do because obviously there was a moment where I was like, gee, I don't know if I'm gonna be any good at this.
Okay, no, you're too fast. Okay, so I want to know, you, where are you
now?
I'm
at the Comedy Nest.
Before,
I'm at American Apparel.
Yes,
I'm making like $35,000 a year.
You quit?
I got fired.
Ah, okay.
I got downsized actually because I was causing. I'm not
too much paper everywhere.
Well, no. The thing is, also.
Yeah, the car.
I was wasting a lot of shit. No, but the thing is, a lot of my employers have always found me challenging because I challenge them.
You are to work.
I challenge them when they.
Yeah,
when they
for them, is it hard to? Is it tough?
Yeah,
you're tough.
Yeah, because employers think they're here and you're here. And I don't believe in that. I believe we're all here. We're all the same. Yeah. Just because you're paying me doesn't give you the right to treat me like less of a human being or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, as an employee, like one of the jobs I had in the restaurant business, for example, payday was Thursday. They didn't have my paycheck. So I said, okay, well, my shift is Thursday. I'm going to come in for my shift on Thursday tomorrow. Just like you guys are doing. You have one responsibility. Yeah. It's to pay me.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do the same thing that you're doing to me, to you. And you're going to fire me.
Yeah.
How does that make sense? Yeah. How does that make any sense?
You quit.
So, yeah. Yeah. Because I don't take shit. So it makes employers a bit... Yeah. And at this point, I was getting fed up with American Apparel and the nonsense they were doing. My boss, the head of the company, called me up on Christmas Eve one night and started cussing me out at 10 o'clock at night. I had to go and log into my computer from my apartment, VPN into my computer, and go call him back and go, yeah, the thing that you're yelling me about that we don't have in the store, we stopped making those 5 years ago. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. And I was dealing with shit like this, and I was like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is stress.
Yes.
I don't feel good about the stress.
For the reward.
The reward is.
But the time, I want to know the lapse time about when you stopped working there.
I was still working there when I started to do comedy,
okay.
And then I got the bug.
Okay.
I started to do it. Like the first show that I ever did, I had my notepad out and I literally was just reading jokes.
Remember who
else? I think it was Peter.
Remember where you are in the lineup?
Like third or fourth.
Remember the feeling?
Yeah.
Is it full? Is it full?
It was a smaller room. It wasn't very busy. I remember specifically Tony Riccio. Heavy T was there.
Shout out to Heavy T.
You were there. And it's funny because he actually came up to me and he was like, man, that shit was fucked up. But it was still pretty good for your first set. Like the command that I had of the material and of the room.
You're too fast.
Sorry.
So you wait. Okay? You're there.
Mm-hmm.
First, second, third.
Yeah.
He said your name. Remember when he said your name?
I kind of just, at that point, was like, I just was like, okay, you gotta just like, I've done a lot of stage performances before and acting and like stuff like that. I've done some movies and
whatnot. Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
It's not the same, but it's still alive.
Yeah,
the feeling of getting out on the stage and the liveness is still, for sure. But also, I kind of hid behind my book a little bit the first time. Like, I had my book out, and I was reading it, and I didn't even really look at the audience too much.
Oh.
But I was hearing the, ooh!
So you did not take the mic?
No.
You keep the mic there?
I kept the mic there. I was very, very robotic. I was really like, okay, let's just go do this, get it done, and get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
You know? Yes. It was funny, because the first joke I told was a horrible joke. About
don't tell if you don't want
to.
We talk about controversy enough.
No, it wasn't that bad. Just
how bad like that funny.
Like it was. Yeah, it was just like I'm beating my dead grandmother. You know, like kind of joke, and people were just like,
is she real life?
Well, no. Then I changed the joke to like I'm having sex with my dead grandmother. I was like, I don't like the way this is going. I'm gonna change it. I'm having sex with my dead grandmother. And like so, everybody was like, and when I got that reaction, I was like, ooh, I like this.
So the feeling after. Remember the feeling after you get out on the stage?
Yes.
What was the feeling?
Are
you proud?
I was happy.
So you drink?
No.
You go home right away?
No, I was... It's funny, when I first started doing comedy, The experience was like taking cocaine, ecstasy, LSD, and mixing it all together and like just dosing it. And like, because I'd get off the stage and I felt high.
Oh, wait, wait.
I felt high. You're fucked. And once you get like,
that's why I said it's not that thing.
No, I remember the first good set that I had, and I came down, man. And I was just like, I was like, wow. And the funny thing is, one of the first good sets I had, I'd actually taken a little bit of Molly.
What is Molly?
MDMA.
Really?
Before the set, I wasn't planning on it. It just happened, sort of thing.
Like everybody, huh? Yeah, I was at the movie store. Yeah. I was touching the pineapple, and I said, "You want to do coke?"
Yeah, sure.
Yes, sir. Well, pineapple.
But it's funny. Somebody came.
The drug arrived fast in your life.
Yeah.
Huh? Toast, bottle, toast.
And I did my set, and I had Dan Dirksen.
Yeah.
Came up to me after, and he was somebody that
another
I was,
guy.
Yeah,
the same night.
He was somebody. This was the night that I did the Molly at this show. This was one of the first good sets I had.
Too fast, man.
Sorry.
You
want to go back?
Yeah, it's cool. Important. You know why? Because the first show is who you are now.
Oh no, I'm so different from the first show.
Not on stage.
Yeah.
The you should be thankful for Jason Yero,
mm-hmm.
who had the guts
to do that
on stage now, because you know it's fucking tough.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The more you wait.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you take a long break.
It's funny.
We're going to talk about that, mm-hmm. okay? Because
I think I had an advantage, though, starting at 30, because a lot of comics start too young, and the only thing they can talk about is their penis that stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of good young comics, too. But
who said this shit dick?
But in a great way, exactly. But when I was 30, I had a little bit more, I guess, life experience, and I mean, I say that, but I was also like immature mentally.
Yeah.
But I at least had seen enough to be able to get my material to be a little bit more accessible to a wider audience. But at the same time, there's the disadvantage of, I mean, if you start at 20, then by the time you're 30 or 32, 33, you're fucking fire. And you still got a good, I mean, if you're lucky, you're fire, because you've got that 10 years of piss and shit jokes out of your system.
Yes.
And now you have like a good 20 years of a career left in front of you if you do it right.
So why you when you get out of the stage, did you say it's for me? I will never quit that anymore. You doubt?
I didn't doubt. I knew right away that I felt at home and that this was what I want. That no matter what, I knew I was never going to be able to escape it.
So
even when I stopped doing it, I was like, as much as I fucking think I'm getting out of this permanently, I know I'll
so
be back.
10 years later from now, though,
mm-hmm.
If the Jason Yero, mm-hmm. open micer, go on stage with the paper, saw you now, what he's gonna say about you, about the 10 years later?
Jesus,
huh? It's a good question.
That's a really good question. He'd probably say that fucking guy sucks, because he was very conceited, and he was very judgmental of other people's jokes. And I think the material that I'm doing now, because it's not that setup punchline pure joke, I wouldn't like it.
Wow, you're so tough with yourself.
Yeah,
you would never say this guy is amazing.
I was very like when I started.
You don't believe you don't think you're amazing.
It's not about me not thinking I'm amazing. You're asking me who the person I was, what he would say.
No, okay.
And he was a shithead. He was a piece of shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
This guy 10 years ago was an asshole.
He was cocky.
He was cocky.
Like you say,
he was an asshole.
I'm going to be just like that.
Yeah, he would say, I see that guy. I don't like his jokes. Wow. I don't like what he's doing. He wouldn't be able to remove the person from the material. To be 100% honest with you, man, I was very, it's not said I wasn't friendly to people, but I'd just be like,
I was friendly with
you. Yeah, no, I know, because I mean, I was still also aware that I was trying to get into a business, and I couldn't just run around telling everybody, they suck shit. But amongst my friends, a lot of the times, you know, it'd be like, I talk a lot of shit, you know, and I see that whether it was right or whether it was wrong, it was a fucking naive, foolish thing to do, as far as I'm concerned now. But yeah, he wasn't messy. He was very.
He will not be grateful about
he
the work hard.
If he knew if this guy from 10 years ago knew that this was what he was gonna be, he would maybe be like, cool, I'm into that. I see that, and I think that that's a good evolution. But if you're just asking
Like, if this comic and this comic, the comic I am now, crossed paths.
I would say more human being.
Right?
Because you, at the time you said you are not a good human being.
Right. I wasn't. I wasn't. And so if this person, without any knowledge that this was what he was going to grow into, would see, he would just be like, that guy, I don't like his comedy. Yeah, I don't like the way he's telling his jokes. You know, maybe. I mean, because there are some... Like, even then, I still liked guys like Dave Chappelle and George Carlin. But also, I used to not think that they were comedians. I thought they were philosophers. I would label them as philosophers that were funny more than they were comedians, because of my very narrow view of what I thought a joke was, what comedy was. Comedy was Mitch Hedberg and Stephen Wright.
Okay.
These guys were comedians because they just sat up there for an hour. Heidi Foss, because they just sat up there for an hour. Bam, 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 bam. It's easy to tell, because Dane Cook is a good example of a guy that can take a 5-minute story, like a simple joke, and turn it into a 20-minute bit, which is actually an amazing skill to have.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I used to look at that as like, you're cheap. You're being. Yeah.
So you're
being more of a magician.
We all start thinking like that.
Yeah.
Confident, cocky. And after that, 10 years later, we are broke, fragile, and we have a killer joke, and we don't feel we deserve. Do you know what I mean? And when we start, we have nothing, but we are the best.
We're the best, and then
now we are so confident, we suffer so much, we can kill everywhere, and say, "Oh, I'm okay."
Yeah.
It's weird, huh?
It's very strange.
So, what do you want to achieve in this business? What motivates you? 10 years later, and
honestly, now I'm much less concerned with making it, and like success as a concept.
Yeah.
I am just thankful, thrilled, and ecstatic that people give me the opportunity to go up onto a stage and talk into a fucking microphone and give them the chance to make them laugh. That's literally all I want to do. I'm thankful every single time I get the fucking opportunity to do it, because I don't think it's something that you know, everybody is lucky enough to get the chance to do. And I'm thankful for the people that absorb it and appreciate it for what it is. Really. So,
and did you achieve everything you want in this business, or you want to achieve something?
Oh no, I want to keep going. I want
to. What is your secret goal?
I mean. I like to look
just for fun.
My comedy now, what I've started to do is, because of my philosophy and that everything is the meaning that we give to everything is our meaning.
Yes.
Which means that we can take whatever we want and reconstruct it completely.
Yeah.
So like my comedy now is, I guess, the idea of taking ideas like marriage, dating, things like that, and twisting them completely on their head and making people super uncomfortable with them, because you can just do that. You can do that. You can. I have a bit now about how marriage is not about love. It's about stuff.
Yeah.
It's all about stuff.
Yeah.
And I go on for 10 minutes about all the stuff that you get when you get married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't even say love once.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And people get uncomfortable by that, but then at the end you bring it back and you say like, okay, no, there's still some love stuff there. But by doing that, I think what my goal is because there's a lot of people that aren't aware of that concept of reality. They think that everything that they're told is, and even if they laugh at George Carlin's jokes, who's basically telling you, hey, this is all bullshit, they're not catching it. Some people are, little by little. So I think if I can contribute to helping,
right? We denounce. We stool. We what was that?
Well, we criticize in a way.
Exactly.
And I think if I, in a way, I can help wake people up. And I'm not talking about woke people that post Black Lives Matter on fucking Facebook
or
Black
Earth,
Squares,
Earth body.
Whatever. I'm talking about if I can actually wake people up to the idea that we are all individual beings that are part of a larger collective, and that there's better ways to do things than the shit that we're fucking currently going through. Even if one person, if I can get one or two or 10 or 20 people to wake up to that idea and they can pass that idea on to their kids and stuff, then I'm doing something that is good.
Yes. It's like what I heard, it's like the guy start cocky, shit on every on the system. Why not me? I'm jealous. Yeah. I want this. I want this. And now it's like you just came back to Peru.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah, I was hanging out with Buddha.
Yes. And now you're just like, I'm just happy where I am.
Yeah.
I say, what's happening, buddy?
I know.
Is it the bother?
I wish.
Because but do you have expectation? Like, do you want to push yourself? Do you say that? You know,
my
how many time you have on stage that you're proud?
To be honest, like, I can honestly say in 10 years, maybe 10 times. Like, really, really proud.
Okay, how many time you have on stage? Killer.
Like, honestly, not that much. Like 20,
30, 40.
Like,
can you headline 45?
I could say maybe 20, 25 times because I was also somebody that always...
25 minutes, you said?
Yeah. I was also somebody that always was trying new stuff out because I never did huge shows. Now, like, I've done, I opened for Lee Camp at Catacombs. One summer, that was an amazing show. I got to do like 15 minutes and I did all my killer material. It was a great show, man. Like, even Lee Camp came up to me and was like, man, that was awesome. I was like, yeah, oh my God.
I was like,
yeah, I made it.
Yeah,
and then the next day, I'm doing a show for like two people.
No, exactly.
Same set, and it's just garbage.
Garbage. It's why you have to take it until midnight. Big Ed. The day after midnight one is still nobody. but do you have like, you want to do your one man show, you want to do Zoofest?
I'm working on
you want to make money, you want to operate.
I would love to make money.
I want to know.
I would love to make money doing this. I also I'd like to be able to start using comedy in a more social way to a certain degree. I've been thinking about actually working with some, trying to get in touch with some hospitals and working with some hospitals to have comedians go and visit patients that are terminally ill and like hang out with them and joke around with them and make them feel fucking some fucking joy before they, you know, before they deal with stuff like that.
It's a little bit intense.
It's tough, but
why you don't start an open mic and host?
It's a possibility. It's very possible. I have
so much energy, man.
Oh no, it's very.
Why you don't start your own place still and bring like Tuesday night?
No, it's a big possibility. I've been working on the material for my one man show, to be 100% honest, and I've got some ideas there. I'm actually also. I have a couple of projects that I'm working on. I do also right now feel like there is a... I feel like I have a bit of an obligation to use my platform to try to help drive some social issues as well.
Not remorse, but...
I think what I've experienced and what I've seen and what I've subjected myself to over the last 6 months... in terms of memoirs and reading and documentaries just about what's going on in the world, social injustices, the way that, like, hungry people, homeless people, like, this is not stuff that we need to have in 2020, man. There's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people in domes doing yoga outside in plastic domes, but we have homeless people sleeping on the street.
You mean the hurt with the dome?
Yeah. But still, I mean, you see what I mean? The yoga, we can give domes to yoga people, but we can't give domes to homeless people? Like, come on. Come on.
So you want to be the mayor of Montreal?
I don't want to be the mayor. Politics, I think I'll be 100% honest with you, I'm an abolitionist. I think the whole system needs to be torn down. I think we need to start something different. Politics is like the experiment of capitalism has failed miserably.
Yeah.
Governments have not been able to do what, like, we've grown too much. We're too many individuals with too many unique sets of ideals and values to be governed under one giant flag of Canada or this or that. And I think that we need to focus again more on our not our immediate, not just on our immediate surroundings, but on our communities, on the people around us, like the idea that police or people that protect us live in the communities that they protect. That's important.
Yeah.
The cops shouldn't be living out in fucking Bait Durfee while they're patrolling here, because what the fuck, what, there's no reason for them to do a good job. They're going to go back to their little safe community after, you know? So things like that, also like, this is a real complicated ideal to have, but like it's a bit of a science, it's a combination of science and spirituality almost in a way, because I'm a spiritual person, I'm not a religious person, I do believe that every human being is connected. I believe we are all brothers and sisters, and we...
But it's a weird time to think like that, because I feel like everybody's aggressive.
Yeah.
Everybody...
Yeah.
The paranoia of, you know...
I mean...
Everybody has his own reality about the virus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everybody... Nobody's like, yes, we should have a mask. Nobody is agree. And because of everything we talked before.
Yeah.
So it's why everybody have his own restriction.
Yeah.
I don't know why you...
Yeah, there are...
Now they open the restaurant, but because of the scare of the bar and what's happened, nobody go to the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's open, but... So people...
Well...
You know, listen, 4 months closed, they make less money, the restaurant, because they open,
mm-hmm.
they spend more money than when they were closed.
Yeah, because they have to pay payroll.
So
they have to get inventory.
They
want to
kill everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny. There's the argument that they're doing this whole virus thing for to close small businesses.
Oh wow!
There are people that believe that they're doing this,
yeah.
so that all the small businesses close,
yeah.
all the independent businesses close, and
everything
is going to be chains, Starbucks, Nichols, Trois Brassards. There's not going to be any.
Yeah. I believe in that because it's a reality.
And
everybody, how can you even survive?
That's
and another thing. The way people think now, they good food. You know, good food.
I love it. I love that stuff.
And exactly. But everybody to go there.
Yeah.
The eBay. Everybody's
yeah.
online.
Yeah.
So nobody go outside. It they change the way to think.
Yeah.
Like to spend the money.
Yeah, yeah, to a certain degree. Yeah, I agree.
So you're right.
See, they're not going to stop me from going. But see, that's the thing. Since this happened, and since I kind of was like when this pandemic started, I saw they didn't care about people. They cared about dollars.
Yeah.
They were like they even the governments were like, oh, we shouldn't close. We got to get people back to work. Essential people back to work. And the people that they're sending back to work are all people making $10.50 an hour.
Exactly.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Crazy.
Oh, man.
If it was serious,
yeah.
that's a terrible thing, because you're basically saying
yeah.
we don't give a shit about the poor people.
Exactly. We're gonna
because there's
$2.
There's unemployed people that are gonna take all those people's jobs if they die. You know, and that for me, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm not going to Tim Hortons anymore. I'm not going to Starbucks. I'm not going to these giant places. I whenever I buy groceries, I try to go to Marchés. I go to Branche d'Olivier. I try to go local as much. I even avoid IGAs now as much as possible. I go to the Marché Atwater. It's a little bit more expensive, but you know what? I'm using my dollars in a way that I find is making a statement in a way. I can't support it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when they, like my dad was kind of on my ass going like, when are you going to go back to work?
Okay.
You know, like because I...
When he did that?
Like 2 weeks ago. Just because I've been off, I stopped working in the restaurant business right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? What are you going to do for work? I have some money saved up, so it's not.
No, you have $2,000 a month.
What? I don't get served.
Why?
Like
he's complicated. No, but you have the other one. When you work in the restaurant, no.
No. I have a complicated personal scenario that does not allow me to
talk about that.
Well, no, I just
no,
don't get the perks that many people do get.
So why your father? Years old. Why your father?
Well, no, because he's just.
Do you live with your father?
No, he was just curious as to like what I was gonna do for money, and he's like, when are you gonna get back into work? He was basically like, are you going back to work in the restaurants anytime soon?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Why?
Absolutely not. Because when it comes to my professional life now, I have made the decision that my talents and my skills are not going to go to just benefit myself and some owner. I'm going to work in... I've applied to the old brewery mission to work in their kitchen, which is not for profit, so it's not the greatest salary in the world, but the work itself will make me feel good.
Why?
Because I don't feel that it's my job to make somebody else rich. If I'm going to do...
Yeah, but you pay a rent.
Yeah, but I make enough money to pay my rent.
No, but you pay rent.
Yeah.
So you make somebody rich.
I understand that, but I have to have a place to live.
Exactly. So you have to work. I don't understand.
But
why.
I can work, and my work can benefit the community.
When you do an open mic,
right?
You don't get paid.
No.
The guy makes the money at the door.
But the benefit for me is giving laughter to people, and the benefit that I get from performing.
Okay.
Right.
So you choose what's benefit for you.
Exactly. Okay. It's a bit of I do what it's like I don't go out to bars, but I'm doing a show on Sunday, right? And I'm doing that
in a bar.
Right. But I'm doing that because
you
I also
drink a beer?
Nope. Oh. But I'm doing that because I believe that I'm willing to put the risk. I'm willing to put myself at risk, and obviously the people coming to the show are willing to put themselves at risk to experience some comedy. And I think that to me, especially considering that we risk losing our local scenes right now in music, in comedy, and everything, because if we don't have the local scenes, all the comedy that we're going to get fed is from Netflix and from Amazon.
Nothing's
going
to change. I understand that.
But you know what I mean? Like people, we need to keep.
Me, it's my pay.
Yeah,
I don't work for the last 5 months.
Right.
So I know what you mean.
So for me, the risk of going out and doing comedy is there's a value to it. Beyond just going and getting drunk.
Yes.
You know?
Because you did that in the past.
Yeah.
Use comedy to be drunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used comedy for a lot of weird things. For attention, for sex. Not so much.
Not so much.
I've never, to be honest, it's funny because with all this stuff going around in the industry right now, like...
Oh, yeah.
That's some crazy shit.
Is it a conspiracy theory about
You know what? I don't know. I don't really want to... I don't... That's not really a topic that I want to get into. For me, the only reason I brought it up was because with all of that going on, I'm kind of happy that I've never been great with women. You know, I was never really a suave dude that was macking on all the girls, and like my best friend is like one of the sleaziest, he's a complete womanizer, right? And he's always like, dude, you gotta play the game, and I never played the game.
So
because of that, I feel like, and because I was never really that good with women, I guess I didn't have a lot of opportunities to be a shitty guy.
Yeah, but if you're a superstar now, look.
Right.
Jason Hierro, like Chris DeLeon.
Mm-hmm.
Are you screwed?
No, I'm not worried. I mean, I have some things that I've done in my past that I'm not proud of.
Yeah, man, but not
that I've dealt with. A lot of people want accountability.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was accountable for it. I never hid from the fact that I did it.
You know.
And
we talk about Chris DeLeon. Yeah.
No.
Dick pic.
No, I never understood that.
Show your phone.
I never understood that. Oh yeah. This is
the proof.
This is the proof. I don't send it. It would be the most grainy, terrible dick pic in the history of the world.
Did you see the receipt by dick pic? No.
No.
I pushed 9 and 7. Look, this is the DeLorean. You know
the Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon. Look, it's chewy. It's inside. Okay, this is one of my favorite movies, okay?
Okay.
If you have the choice to go back and change something in your life, what's going to be...
Honestly, as stupid as this sounds, I don't know if it sounds stupid or not. I started reading so many books over this quarantine, like memoirs, like people's experiences on Earth.
Yeah, you said you don't care before.
No, but
when I said
it's not about,
you're not curious.
It's not about, but curiosity and caring is two different things to me.
Curious is caring.
No. Curious is just I'm interested. That's not necessarily caring.
Okay. What is caring?
Caring is putting your emotion into it, to me.
Yeah,
caring,
you start
caring involves emotion.
I know, but you have to be curious and caring after, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm curious about the book.
But you can be curious about something and then not care about it.
No, I'm curious about the book, but I'm not enough caring to open it.
For me, it's different. It's not the same. It's
because
like,
we just play with words. You have to help me.
Yeah,
me,
of course.
50 words in English in my head.
Of course. No, but caring for me is more something that is a much more emotional thing. I'm not saying that I can't be interested in something and then care about it, but I can also be interested in something and then not give a shit. You know, like once I find out about it, then I'm like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah, when you find out.
Right?
Yes.
But that's not what you have to be interested in something to care about it.
Yes.
But.
It's my point.
But being interested does not, for me, it mean.
Boy, mate. Are you a curious person?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
This is first curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. After that, curious for me, it's be interested about life, about finding
Well, it depends.
Be inspired.
On, it also, no, inspired. But it also depends on what the purpose of the of the of your curiosity is. Because some people might be curious so they can learn things just so they can make just so yes. they can shit on other people.
For example, you were curious at Flat Earth and you said, I'm not interesting." But you start something. You know what I mean? Because
it's not so much that I'm not interested. I'll still have conversations with people about it. What I mean when I'm
but you have your
when
opinion.
What I mean when I'm not interested about it, I mean whether the earth is flat or the earth is fucking round, it makes no difference to my life.
Anymore.
Ever.
No, because anymore. Because in the past you didn't know. You have to learn, you have to be curious to understand what you just said.
Yeah, but if I didn't ever think about whether the earth was round or flat, it didn't have any effect on my life either.
Not exactly. We don't feel that they turn now, Galuk. Do you feel that the...
It's like saying, if I throw the car up, how come it doesn't go this way?
Exactly. because you need to be passionate.
The problem with this is, I know a sniper from the Marines, and when they're shooting long distances, they actually have to account for the curvature of the earth.
Exactly.
And try and argue with a guy that's killed 5 people that he doesn't have to do that. He's gonna be like, "Yo, I'm gonna kill you next."
Yeah, but this is an information you learn.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it's true.
Well, it does.
No, because you're not the professional sniper.
Well, but I have. I mean, I still. If he's gonna tell me this, you're gonna say
sorry,
that
it's a coffee.
I don't know. I understand, but you're gonna say that then somebody told him to tell everybody that he talks to about shooting people about the curvature of the earth.
No, it's not the curvature of the earth because you do that. It's because of the wind.
No. He actually.
You know what I mean?
When you
maybe he's on the rock and the guy's there. You know.
It's not that simple.
We are not professional.
Unfortunately, no. I know, but it was explained to me in a professional manner.
Yes, because you are interesting.
I suppose.
I understand what you're saying.
But what you're saying is you can't trust anything that anybody says.
You have to make your own opinion.
But no, if I go to a doctor and they tell me I have cancer, I'm not going to make my own opinion.
Yes, you will.
No, I'm not. I'm going to listen to the doctor.
Because you're going to die anyway.
But I'm going to listen to the doctor.
Why?
Because if he says there's a chance I survive, if I take chemo, I'm going to take the chemo.
Yeah, but if somebody said, if you don't take chemo and you eat juice.
I'm going to listen to the doctor. I'm going to listen to the doctor.
Good for you.
The doctor is the guy that has spent his life.
Because it's you.
But
it's not the truth. You know what I mean?
I can't live my life going around not believing in the people that have spent their lives training and studying things for our benefit and for their own benefit.
Yes.
We have to. There's a degree where we have to trust experts. There's a degree.
Not in our society anymore, you know, because they all lie.
We have to. I know doctors. I know doctors.
Okay, but you're going to see another doctor or going to just...
I might get a second opinion.
Exactly.
But that doesn't... If the second guy says I have cancer too, I'm going to start to listen to them. If the third one says I have cancer, hey, maybe, you know, I'm not going to go see a mechanic to get my heart checked. You know?
Exactly.
You know? We have to... And this is something that's very important.
My point is the death
of expertise... is a dangerous road that we're going.
My point is, you just said, I know a sniper, he said the curvature of the, it doesn't mean it's true.
He explained to me.
Yeah.
I'm
going to show you if you do. A guy explained that the fire down the building 7, and he was convinced. I was like, wow, it's a fire.
I've seen buildings be demolished before.
Yeah.
I've seen the way that they strategically make buildings collapse on themselves.
Yes.
There is no way that, I mean, maybe the way it was designed that if it did get impacted, it would collapse on itself. That's a possibility as well. But in my brain, a building that comes down like that and doesn't go beep after something fishy is going on because of the way that I see it, right?
Yes.
But I've also...
But we are not professional.
I understand
that. But you can use your judgment.
To a degree.
Exactly.
To a degree.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So you have the chance to go back in the past to change something in your life.
The thing that I'm going
to... Are you doing something?
The only thing that I would change is I would tell myself to read more books earlier on. Start reading much earlier.
But if you do that... You know you will not be the same guy now.
I understand that. Maybe I would have...
For where you are now, are you happy?
I'm very happy.
So you will...
I would still go back and say, you know what? Start reading books earlier.
So, but you start to read book, and a car is the
maybe.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But also the other possibility is if I had started to read the books that I'm reading now, 10 years ago, I might have achieved this level of confidence and enlightenment earlier, and I might have been the person that I am now, 10 years earlier. And that man, I could just to think about the control I would have had in the situations that I had no control over.
Are you a lizard?
I knew it.
I saw your eyes moving. You know? I said, maybe it's the bother.
Me and Hillary were like this.
Man, you're amazing. Sorry, I touched you, bother.
Okay.
You're amazing. I don't mind. Man, thank you so much for your generosity.
This was great.
This is,
thank you for having me. To be honest, this is like I've been alone. I had a friend of mine that was staying with me during the beginning of the quarantine. She got kicked out of her place and she needed a place to stay. So she stayed with me for a little bit. So I had some company. I have my cats at home, so they're great company. But for the most part, I'm alone, like without like a lot of human contact. And just having this chat with you has been awesome.
That's great. Because me, I'm passionate about everything.
I see that.
No matter if it's flat or not, it's not the point. The point is not like what I'm going to do with that after if I knew it's flat. Nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm going
to learn. We should be able to have that conversation, though.
Exactly.
We should.
And it's fun. It's why I said I'm curious.
There are some aspects, though. Like, see, the thing is...
I will never force you to believe that.
Right.
I don't...
But here's the problem, though. Because the thing is, flat Earth, if we have the discussion and debate about the flat Earth, nobody really gets hurt. Right?
Yeah.
But when they start to talk about things and debate things like systemic racism and white supremacy, unfortunately, there is...
No, I don't talk about that.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is when it comes to those, like, because there's a lot of people that are like, systemic racism doesn't exist. And when we talk about those conspiracy theories, unfortunately, there are a group of people that are affected negatively by those conversations. No. So I have no problems with these, like, the conspiracy theories of 5G, because nobody gets hurt when we talk about those.
Yeah, maybe this. I'm not good with. I did not make a lot of research, research of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when no electricity arrived, you know, sometimes no electricity. Yeah. You know what I mean? You feel the difference.
Oh yeah,
you feel that.
Man, I remember the ice storm.
Consequently, zoned
waves.
You feel it. So you know, you feel it
what
a
mean?
Lot. When the no. When
you're like in the country sort of thing?
No, when electricity goes out. Goes out.
I never thought about this. I honestly never thought about it.
You don't need to
I'll have to pay. I'll have to pay attention.
Oh man, you're going to feel the difference. You're
going to
feel like, something. It's feel like you're in the woods.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously.
We feel it.
The waves, the signals that come out of our computers and our Wi-Fi, they're there. So they have to be affecting us in one way or another, right? You know?
Yes.
Like, I mean, when you go get an x-ray, like and they put the lead lead on you and then the lady goes into the room and closes the door.
Is it dangerous?
No,
it's dangerous. Yeah.
You ever seen baby x-rays where they put them in the glass and they squish them?
No.
Well, go Google that. They take them, they put them in two pieces of plastic because the baby's going to move around. They can't move around. And then they squish them into the plastic. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see, fat babies getting squished.
The fun thing about what we live during the COVID, it's the all the Karen.
Oh my God,
the Karen.
I mean, I've worked in the restaurant business for
for 12
years. Yeah, so I've been dealing with these people for the last 5-6 years, right? And I was the manager too. The best, my favorite thing to do in the world was when I was the manager is somebody would come up by one of my tables and be like, "I want to talk to the manager," and I just do this. Whoop, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's you. Me. And they'd be like, fuck you. Fuck you. Get out of here.
I'm like, listen, yes. I'm happy you're happy. I hope you're going to continue to stay
where you are. This is the road I'm on.
Because
now,
you have the good attitude, you know, because sometimes comedy make you shit.
It can chip away at your soul. It can chip away at your soul. You know what, though? It's not comedy that chips away at your soul. I don't think it's comedy.
No, it's the industry.
It's comedians.
No, exactly. It's the industry.
Yeah.
Because when you're on the show, you're on the, it's fun.
It's
everything around.
I understand the idea of people wanting safe spaces and you know, there's things that maybe not be okay to joke about anymore. But I also think that art, music, comedy, literature,
these are not supposed to be safe spaces. These are supposed to be places where people can express themselves.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they're not going to do it well. Yeah. But see, this is the other thing. Like, I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, we want accountability and we want progress, but they're not. Like you know, like all these racists getting fired, they're just getting them fired, and they're not going, hey, here's some fucking things to read, here's a course to go do, here's some treatment to get to get you to understand yes. the damage that you're doing. They just want to make them feel the same way that they felt. It's more about, it seems to me, I don't think this is the case in all cases, but it seems to be more about revenge. Even with sexual assault and stuff like that, they're not going, hey, here is a fucking counseling service for people that abuse women. Go to it.
Yes.
It's no, it's just, I'm going to ruin your reputation. I don't care what happens to you next.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's, like we're not solving any issues by doing that.
Yeah,
we're
just,
like if you fire a bunch of racists, you know what's going to happen? All those racists are just going to get together and fucking make super racists.
Oh, I know. I think we learned a lot of thing in the 2020 is special, right?
Yeah,
it's been, and it's not finished, buddy.
No,
Trump,
it's not.
Trump is back.
Hey, my biggest fear is.
I hope you're gonna come back because we could talk about lizard.
Oh yeah,
5G.
Yeah, man.
You know, because I think you start that. Don't forget. Okay?
I did.
That's in the middle of our podcast. Why are you talking about that? I said I don't remember. Oh yeah, it's because of you about that. But. Let's finish like that. Cool. The battery's dying because you're the third one. But man, thank you so much.
Man, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Like I said, man, you have a great vibe.
I look forward
if
to
you put that on stage. You're gonna be a superstar.
Man, I look forward to seeing you again. I'm looking forward to getting on stage with you one of these days. Hopefully, I'm gonna be here next week after Sunday. I got a set for Sid, and hopefully, he's gonna like it and put.